science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Think Works, the place where we like to do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week I want to talk about the power of a simple phrase and question. And that question is, how can I help? This is a simple yet profound question, and it's being popularized by a character called Dr. Max Goodwin from a TV show called New Amsterdam. And it's become more than just a catchphrase. He's the chief medical officer and also runs the New Amsterdam Hospital, which is a public hospital in America, a fictitious one. And it's his philosophy. He asks everyone, how can I help? And he means it. It's not just lip service. And it gets people thinking differently. And he drives that philosophy through the culture of the hospital, turning it away from merely having to make money to satisfy its shareholders and board of directors into a hospital that is focused on the benefits for its patients. And it reflects a dedication to service and compassion in that series. And if you actually look at it, how you can implement that in your own lives, it can, I think, transform both personal and professional lives. So we're going to explore the significance of these four words and how they can really guide us toward a more meaningful set of interactions with others, and also how we can contribute and get others to contribute in a positive way. So at first glance, how can I help might seem like a simple inquiry, yet its true power lies in its ability, I think, to catalyze transformation across various dimensions of our lives and indeed the wider society, our personal lives and the wider society. So firstly, the question symbolizes a shift from self-centered intentions to an outward-focused empathy. Think about it. How can I help? Not what do you want? That's the difference, yeah? Because most people, when we're working and we get interrupted, is what do you want? No, how can I help? It encourages us to step out of our comfort zones and basically engage, I think, with other people's realities. And in doing so, we begin to understand experiences and perspectives that are different from our own. And it fosters a more inclusive and empathetic world. If only our leaders across the wide spectrum of different political parties in different countries would actually stop to ask that simple question of the very people that they are there supposedly to serve, and yet very rarely do, if they would just ask the question, how can I help? How can my government help? And we're not there, and I think that's a real shame. Furthermore, how can I help is inherently action-oriented. While empathy allows us to connect emotionally, the essence of this question lies also in its call for a tangible action. It propels us to go beyond passive acknowledgement of problems and towards actively seeking solutions. This is the thing, you know, we should only spend 20% of the time defining what the problem is. The other 80% should be on defining the solution and acting upon that solution to solve the problem. It's a proactive stance, and it can also, because it's proactive, it can spark new and exciting ideas and new approaches to long-standing issues, and thinking outside the box becomes a reality rather than just a catchphrase that a lot of us like to try and use in a business context, but very rarely are we allowed to do the actual real serious thinking outside the box to long-standing issues or long-standing cultural issues within a business or an organization or a country even. The question is also, how can I help? It's also an invitation, I think, to collaborate. So when we ask someone, how can we help, we're engaging them in a dialogue. And this actually can lead to partnership. It can lead to a sense of sharing our goals. And this approach, it just results in more effective solutions because it leverages the strengths and insights of multiple people that are involved in that conversation. How can I help, rather than what do you want, is much more of a springboard into a creative set of discussions about a problem that needs solving. And finally, by consistently asking how can I help, we cultivate this mindset in ourselves, which is really important, of service and generosity. And it's a mindset that becomes contagious. When others see acts of kindness and helpfulness, they are often inspired to contribute as well. We're creating a ripple effect of positive change. I've seen it myself. When you are, as a manager, if you're supportive and helpful to your staff rather than telling them what to do, that actually feeds down. And yeah, it has to be consistent. And a one-off isn't going to do it. But if it's consistent, how can I help? How can I support you? What do we need to do to solve this problem? You start to see that actually people start to ask those questions themselves, and it filters down or across or up even, which would be nice if it went further up in the chain of command, wouldn't it? But that's just the ideal world that I would like to live in. But think about that. Consider the impact of this question in the workplace setting. The manager routinely asks team members how he or she can assist them isn't just supporting their staff. They're also creating a culture where help and cooperation become the norm. And this fosters high morale, improved teamwork, greater productivity. And this is something that just fries my brain about management and our government of any political stripe in the UK in particular, is we don't actually ever, we're always saying the productivity is low, we need to get productivity up, it needs to be higher. I mean, but they tell us then to raise productivity. They don't say to us, how can we help you raise your productivity? Now, that's a much, if we involve the workforce that we keep beating up and blaming for everything, when really it's bad management from businesses, organisations and government, then we're more likely to start to see an improvement in productivity levels if that's how you want to judge everything. I don't personally. I think it should be based on contributions. But, you know, just your contribution to a business, to a society, to a family, to a country, rather than your productivity level, which just strikes me as chasing the almighty dollar once again. But we need to be doing that, and we're not. And so it needs to start small, I agree. So on a personal level, asking how can I help will strengthen relationships that you have. It shows that we value the other person's well-being and are committed to their happiness or success. And that in itself builds additional trust, and it deepens connections, and it makes interactions more fulfilling and meaningful. And the more you do that, the more comfortable you become with that process, and the more that you can then start to create this positive feedback loop between you and the people closest to you. In essence then, how can I help is more than a question. It's a mindset. It creates an action plan. It's a promise to engage with the world in a meaningful way. And by embracing this simple yet really profound inquiry, we unlock our potential to drive impactful change in both our immediate surroundings, the place we work, our family, our village, our community, whatever your immediate surrounding is. But also, the more that we do it and the more people that join in, we can also start to change the broader world. And when you look at what's happening in the world at the moment, this has got to be a plus place to start. So let's give some examples of utilization of how can I help in the real life situation, shall we? There are actually quite a few leaders and change makers who have adopted this philosophy. In business, leaders like Howard Schultz of Starbucks used a version of this question to connect with both employees and customers. And it was basically done to help create a positive experience inside a Starbucks operation. In communities, activists and volunteers often ask residents how they can help address pressing issues. And that leads to impactful grassroots movements. For example, if you consider the story of Clara Barton, who founded the American Red Cross, she's constantly asked how she could assist those in need during times of disaster. And that shaped an organization known for its humanitarian efforts. The transformative power of the question, how can I help, is evident in numerous real life scenarios where individuals and organizations have leveraged it to create meaningful impact. For example, Mother Teresa, who dedicated her life to serving the poorest of the poor, her work was driven by the continuous inquiry of how she could help those living in abject poverty. By asking this question, she founded the Missionaries of Charity and provided essential services and care to millions across the globe, showcasing how a life committed to helping others can also lead to sustained global change. Another inspiring example is seen in the open source software community. I run Ubuntu, and I run, for my radio station, we run it on a open source development called Mix. Now, all this is open source. You don't pay for Ubuntu. You don't pay for Mix. You can donate if you wish, and you can help promote donation lines. But these are basically developers who have said, how can I help to contribute to projects working together in a way, because they don't like what they see from the commercial programmers and developers. And I'm not saying anything about Microsoft and Windows and its obscene number of updates that fry everything when you're trying to actually do a simple task. No, I'm not going to get bitter and twisted on that at all. But you know what I mean? So this all came out of people saying, how can we help users, computer users, have a better experience? And that approach not only spurred innovation, it also made software tools more accessible worldwide. And platforms like GitHub thrive on this mentality, and they've created a culture there where expertise is shared freely for the collective good. And the people that developed our radio broadcasting software are amazing what they've done with the software. It is so robust now, and so able to just handle anything we throw at it. We just wouldn't be able to survive as an independent radio station without the tools that provides. And by moving to Ubuntu from Windows, because Windows was causing problems with its constant updates, and it's even when you've said don't do updates, it was still changing settings on your computer ready for when you had to do an update. And it was interfering with network adapters and sound adapters. We moved to Ubuntu, we haven't had a problem. We've not had a single problem with Ubuntu at all. It's stable, it runs, it does updates when we want it to do updates. It doesn't do anything, it just waits patiently for you to say, right, I'm ready to do an update now. Absolutely brilliant. And that all came from people willing to give their time and skills by asking that simple question, how can I help other computer users have a more elegant and more stress-easy use of a computer? In the corporate world, Patagonia, the outdoor clothing company, they've got that philosophy through its environmental commitments. The company constantly asks, how can it contribute to environmental sustainability and take action by using sustainable materials? It advocates all the time for environmental preservation, and it encourages customers to actually repair, reuse, and recycle rather than throw out and replace with new items a year later or even 6 months later. At a local community level, you've got the Global Pay Forward movement, and that echoes the sentiment of how can I help immensely. It involves individuals performing acts of kindness anonymously and then leaving a note that simply asks recipients to continue the chain by helping someone else. This inspired countless acts of generosity, and it's proved that even small gestures prompted by the question, how can I help, can lead to significant positive outcomes. And lastly, in educational systems, teachers play a pivotal role by frequently asking their students, how can they be of help? This not only supports the individual learning journey of each student, but also fosters that environment where students feel valued and understood, enhancing educational outcomes and community spirits. And this is where our current education system is now getting it wrong, because we're starting to undo that. We're starting to lock students into, this is how you're going to pass your exam. We're not encouraging them to learn. We're not encouraging them to enjoy learning, which is even more important. And again, that correlation between demanding that students pass exams and the fall of productivity levels is all related. Because if we are churning out, like a sausage machine, churning out students that don't like learning, they've had enough of it, are fed up with it, then they're never seeking to improve themselves in the workforce. And it's only by having that love of learning and doing things that are different and new that we will actually turn the tide on this generational lack of productivity. It's got to be done. And we've got to stop focusing purely on the outcome of how many people have passed at a certain level. It's just the wrong question to ask. That said, there are still some professors and teachers and teaching assistants and professionals out there that do still try to encourage this love of lifelong learning, and they need to be more supported. And, you know, I often see them constricted, you know, told they can't do that because it's not in the lesson plan. It's ridiculous. If a student or a set of students want to explore a leafy suburb of learning, we should be encouraging that. I was lucky. I was in the generation where I could go off to the library in the school and pick up any book and do an essay on it. It could be anything, but it wasn't frowned upon if I chose to do, you know, space, the final frontier. It was there, and it was encouraged for us to do it. Now, before I go on to the next segment, I should really explain that if you hear a difference in sound quality, it's because there was a problem with the system that I recorded the rest of this episode on, and it didn't actually record what I said. So I haven't realised until I've come to sit and edit and put together the programme that I need to do this last segment again, but I'm in a different location. There's much more traffic noise even through the cladding that we have on the studio, but hopefully that won't detract too much from what I've got to say. This next segment really is all about how we adopt the how can I help into our daily life, and you know, how can the average person adopt such a mindset? Well, it starts with empathy, I think, and active listening. When we engage with others, be it family or friends or colleagues or strangers, taking the time to genuinely ask how we can assist them can deepen our relationships and create a more collaborative environment, especially in a work context when you're constantly asking your colleagues and peers and people that may work for you or report to you and people that you report to, how can I help? It just starts to filter through and create a much stronger bond because people start to feel that they're being listened to. If we cultivate an active listening habit, basically, it means that we, instead of listening to respond, we learn to listen to understand. And that, it might sound a little bit, you know, woolly, but it does. It opens your hearts and your minds to the experiences of others. And this does deepen our empathy. It allows us to connect on a more profound level and comprehend the true needs of those around us. And if you offer support and foster collaboration, and the proactive nature of how can I help certainly encourages that kind of response and working practice, it means that whether it's at home or work or in the community, offering that help just fosters that environment where collaboration and mutual support thrive. This creates networks of positive influence where people they feel empowered to reciprocate assistance, and they basically just leads to more cohesive group formats and structures. And the benefits to you, the benefits of you being the helper, it just means that philosophy yields significant positive feelings within you. So by consistently asking how can we help, we can, number one, it enhances personal growth. Helping others enriches our experiences, teaching us new skills and perspectives that contribute to our personal development and resilience. Number two, it builds meaningful relationships. By positioning ourselves as allies, we form deeper, more trusting relationships. These connections are often the source of invaluable support and joy in our lives. Number three, it boosts well-being and happiness. Research indicates that helping others activates the regions in the brain associated with pleasure and reward. And this leads to increased levels of happiness and satisfaction. Why wouldn't it? Number four, it cultivates a positive reputation. People who frequently offer help often build a reputation of reliability and kindness, which in itself can open doors in both personal and professional spheres. And lastly, number five, it fosters a sense of purpose within yourself. Helping provides a sense of meaning as our actions contribute to something that's greater than ourselves. And this sense of purpose can be a powerful motivator during challenging times. Now, there are some practical steps you can take to adopt the philosophy. For example, you can monitor your interactions. Just observe situations where offering help could make a difference and make it a habit to ask, how can you contribute? You can reflect on personal strengths. Consider what unique skills or resources you can offer to others, making your help even more impactful. And in fact, one of the masterminds that I want to set up going forward in the future is finding like-minded people like myself that want to actually make changes that make the world a more positive place, but also have got experience like I have of actually doing this on a smaller scale and then putting it together into a bigger group. I'm going to pull the mastermind together because I know how to do that and how to structure it, but the skills will come from everyone that's in that mastermind, and the policies and the actions that we take will arise as a group policy almost. So I will look at, you know, just look at what strengths you have or what experiences you have that you can bring to help others, and then take that and volunteer and engage, get involved in community activities or volunteer opportunities where your assistance is needed, and that further integrates helping into your lifestyle. These are practical steps that you can take, and by consistently embodying that question, how can I help, we create a ripple effect of kindness and cooperation. That's my ambition with this, and especially with the mastermind that I want to set up later in the year. And it enriches our own lives while making a tangible difference. This shift towards a service-oriented mindset not only elevates our interactions, but also cultivates a lasting legacy of goodwill and community spirit. So by embracing the spirit of how can I help, we begin to see the world through a lens of service and cooperation. This simple question helps break down barriers. It fosters connections. It empowers us to contribute positively wherever we go. It starts to negate the constant stream of badness that we get from media and from the world around us, because the world isn't as bad as what we think it is. There is goodness out there. There are people like you that want to make changes. But we're led to believe that we can't, that it's too big, that the world is against us. That's not true. We need to just remember that. And by actually adopting that mindset as yourself to start with, you can then start to take that forward. In conclusion then, by embracing this spirit of how can I help, we begin to see the world through a lens of service and cooperation. It's a simple question, but it helps break down barriers, fosters connection, and empowers us to contribute positively wherever we go. Now, there will be, as always, a forum post that goes alongside this episode for you to come and join in the discussion. And that will be darreninform.com/thinkworksforum. You go in there, there'll be a post for this episode, episode 43, The Power of How Can I Help? And come and contribute. Just tell me what kind of services or kind of actions that you would like to see businesses like myself develop, deliver. Or if you want to come and join the mastermind and see what we can start to come up with together, come and join me in there and let me know. But I think the real purpose of this was just to show that there is a different way of doing things, and I love that whole philosophy of how can I help. So take care, everyone. Keep on rocking. Don't let the grayness of the media and the just constant drip of negativity really stop you from thinking about how you could positively change, even if it's just your own life initially and then the ones of those closest to you, by adopting this more positive mindset. Just start with that. But I think the real thing that I need to say to you all is, how can I help?
you would like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.